Walter Nelson and your audio guide to the 9-Year Nile Walk. We will refer to the site numbers on the 9-Year Nile Walk map and landmarks along the way. Download your map from www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. This walk is one of a series of heritage walks developed by the Nelson City Council. Much of the information in this guide comes from a Nelson Historic Journal article about Alton Street. These journals are available at the Nelson Library and have a range of fascinating articles on Nelson. Nile Street and the other streets referred to in the walk, namely Alton, Bridge, Manuka and Collingwood, were some of the earliest streets when Nelson first started to develop in the 1840s.
Our walk starts at the Information Centre in Miller's Acre. Landmarks clearly visible are the Civic House clock tower diagonally opposite and the cathedral on Church Hill directly ahead. Cross Trafalgar Street at the traffic lights and proceed along Trafalgar Street towards the cathedral until you reach Bridge Street. Cross the road and turn left into Bridge Street. Just past the bike stands, notice the footpath plaque by the curb. It comments on the original curbstones from 1864 to 1875, which can be found edging the road here and at other sites in Nelson. Continue along Bridge Street and cross Collingwood Street and keep going past Nelson's courthouse on historic Albion Square. An information board near the path details points of interest in the precinct. Continue past the Souter Art Gallery and enter into Queen's Gardens via the William Pitt Memorial Gates. Site 1 is within the gardens.
The North Queen's Gardens gates are a memorial to Albert Pitt, Minister of Defence, Lieutenant Colonel of the New Zealand Militia and Commanding Officer of the Nelson Military District from 1877 to 1899. In 1897, Pitt was the most senior district commander in the colony and took the first New Zealand contingent overseas to Britain during the Diamond Jubilee of Queen Victoria. Jubilee fever saw many volunteers sign up and go and fight for the British Empire in the Boer War, which started in October 1899.
Enter the gardens and continue on the main path straight ahead. Queen's Gardens were originally founded in 1887 as a public garden to commemorate Queen Victoria's 50th Jubilee, and the gardens were formally opened by Mayor Francis Trask in 1892. We will leave by the Trask Memorial Gates on the other side of the gardens later on. Queen's Gardens are an excellent example of a Victorian public garden and contains many fine heritage specimen trees. A history of the gardens and trees sites can be found on an information panel on your right. On your left is a classic white marble Boer War memorial. The path continues past Cupid's Fountain and four more rose gardens are on your right. Then go under a trellis gateway and over a bridge which crosses the eel pond. In pre-European times, the eel pond was a prime eel harvesting spot for local Māori, when the land was covered with a thick forest of native trees known as the Great Wood of Whakatū. The pond is an oxbow lake, a detached residual bend of the nearby Maitai River. Turn right and you will see the miniature mill wheel, which is Site 1 on your map.
The miniature wheel was donated by the Nelson Rotary Club in 2005 as a centenary project. It is 2 metres high and made of 50,000-year-old kauri wood. The wheel is the Rotary Club emblem, but is very appropriate for this spot as it is the site of an early flour mill. In May 1844, some leading citizens had formed the Nelson Flour Milling Company. Some flour had been imported from Australia, but as soon as land could be cleared and cultivated, the settlers planted small areas of wheat, which was cut with a sickle, threshed with a flail, and ground into coarse meal for bread making. Some lucky settlers owned a handmill, others had to use a pestle and mortar, while Sarah Higgins records that in some neighbourhoods coffee mills were bolted onto poles and used in turn by the settlers. It was therefore felt that the flour mill was of great importance to the future of the colony. The public were invited to take up shares. A Mr. Fox was elected chairman of directors, and a Mr. A.G. Jenkins was his secretary. The estimated cost of the mill was £400, but, as usual, the final figure was higher than expected. On the 24th of June 1845, the Examiner reported that the mill was got to be working fairly satisfactorily, and that the directors regaled the shareholders with a luncheon of bread and cheese and beer, all produce of the settlement, and we might challenge any of the southern colonies to produce cheer as good. All, however, did not run smoothly, and before long, Matthew Campbell and Mr. A.J. Jenkins took over the lease of the mill from September 1845. The mill was powered by water taken from the brook at a point between Manuka Street and Bronte Street and carried on an elevated aqueduct along Alton Street. After doing its work to turn the millstones, the water discharged into the eel pond. The aqueduct, a pipeline supported on timber props, is visible in most early views of Nelson, such as some of Heafy's paintings, and makes a good orientation feature for the eel pond area. Remains of the millray still exist in the southwestern corner of Queen's Garden as a crowned level stream which flows into the eel pond. By 1887, the mill must have ceased operation and had been dismantled, as a newspaper report on the layout of the new Queen's Gardens noted that there was to be a fernery where the foundations of the mill were.
Exit through the Trask Memorial Gates into Hardy Street. Turn right, then cross the street to turn left into Alton Street.
Alton Street was named in March 1842 by the settlement's Street Naming Committee. The reason for the choice is presumed to be connected with the first death in the new settlement. One of the company's labourers, Thomas Cresswell, died of typhoid fever and was buried on Fifeshire or Haulashore Island. There is now no trace of his grave, but his native town was Alton in Hampshire, near Chawton, the home of Jane Austen. Captain Wakefield records in his diary on the 22nd of November 1841, "Thomas Creswell departed this life at 8:30. He has been for some time in a hopeless state from a low fever. He was a well-behaved, steady man and came from the neighbourhood of Alton, near Hampshire." A group of settlers also came from the same area, so the name Alton had a resonance for many of their homeland.
Continue along Alton Street to site 2 on your map, number 9, Alton Street.
Today, this large building has been converted into flats, and it seems to have had a high-density residential or apartment living use ever since it was purpose-built as a boarding house. Fanny Acker's, widow of chemist Richard Hadfield, owned it in 1899 and had a number of lodgers, many of them apprentices, or journeymen as they were called in those days. Many boarding houses were run by widows in the early days, providing needed income when the breadwinner had died. Equal pay and equal employment opportunities for women had not been thought of in those days. Fanny's first husband, Richard Hadfield, had died young, aged 30 years, of typhoid fever, leaving her with two small sons. She subsequently married music professor John Bonfield Ackers. Typhoid epidemics occurred quite often in the early days of the settlement, often blamed on the infamous ditch that was an open drain for pretty much everything and ran down Trafalgar Street.
Continue along Alton Street to Nile Street and to the large section near the corner, which is now occupied by Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology. This is Site 3 on your map, the former site of the Griffin's Factory.
Griffin's Factory sat on Town Section 424. John Griffin arrived in Nelson in 1854 with his wife and seven children. He commenced business, opening a bakery shop in Trafalgar Street in 1855, rebuilding after a devastating earthquake in 1856. However, a depressed economy resulted in a move to Christchurch until 1867. But Griffin returned to Nelson then to start as a flour miller and a wood and coal dealer on the Griffin's factory site. When John died in 1893, two of his sons carried on the business, till the building was totally destroyed by fire in 1894. Unfortunately, there was no insurance, and to obtain capital, a public company was formed with a sum of £5,172, subscribed by the Nelson people. Benefactor Thomas Cawthron added substantially to this sum, so that in 1897, chocolate-making machinery was installed, this activity adding a delicious aroma to the street. Alas, another unfortunate fire occurred in 1903, after which a brick factory was erected, and operations recommenced in 1905. The firm expanded and built up a reputation for biscuit making over the years. In 1938, this part of the business was transferred to Lower Hutt, but the confectionery making continued to provide employment for many locals. In 1965, the firm was taken over by overseas interests. Sadly, the Nelson business closed in 1987. 150 jobs went, with marked social impact as local employment opportunities were lost, affecting many women who were a large proportion of the factory staff. The building was subsequently demolished.
Cross the road to 94 Nile Street, which is Site 4 on your map.
At 94 Nile Street, there still stands a house that was built about 1865 for Henry Hounsell, a wine and general merchant of Bridge Street. In 1877, it was bought by Mrs. Mary Gibbs and occupied by her and her family until 1905. Arrangements had been made for the Gibbs family to emigrate to New Zealand, and when her husband died before the sailing date, Mrs. Gibbs carried on, courageously facing the task of bringing her nine children to an unknown land in the ill-fated boat, the Queen Bee. After a comparatively pleasant voyage, the boat was wrecked at Farewell Spit, and the passengers had to take to the lifeboats. The family was separated, and it was some days before she knew that her children were all safe. When she settled at the corner of Alton and Nile Streets, there were plenty of paddocks for the children to play in, and they attended the nearby Bishop's School. Her son Frederick became the first headmaster of the new Central School across the road, and Frederick was also prominent in cultural and many business activities in the city.
This end of Alton Street is known as the Alton Street Heritage Precinct. An information panel is situated in the grassy area in the centre of the street where pet lambs once grazed. The main entrance of the Nelson Central School grounds is Site 5 on your map.
Nelson Central School is now the oldest school in New Zealand still functioning on its original unitary site. The site of the present Nelson Central School was purchased in 1893 for £1,600. The school gained its present name in 1927 with the enrolment of both boys and girls. And the main school building was rebuilt in 1930, and the facade retains all its character today. Before it became the school, the area was an important stop along the Dun Mountain Railway line and was the site of a sawmill. Dun Mountain Railway was famous as the first railway in New Zealand, and it opened in February 1862. It was designed to take ore from the Dun Mountain mine to the port of Nelson. A company had been formed in England to exploit the mine, and experienced engineers were sent out to plan and build the railway. An Act was passed by Parliament in August 1861, and the line was to be from Albion Wharf at the port and go via Haven Road, Waimea, Hardy, Alton, Manuka and Brook Streets, across Manuka Road, and thence to other lands to Section 35 on the company's property. A 3-foot, which is approximately 1 metre, gauge railway was constructed to carry loads of copper and chrome to the port. It was a railway without engines. The loaded trucks were brought down the hill by gravity, then towed by horses. The empty trucks were pulled up the hill by the same horsepower. The train was drawn at a speed which was not to exceed 4 miles an hour. For some time, the line was used to bring down firewood, which was stacked and cut up on the site of the central school, the sawmill being worked by a horse. The affairs of the company were wound up in 1872, and the rails later shipped to Blenheim to be used on the Blenheim-Picton Railway. The city to port section of the line continued to be used as a horse tramway for many years.
To get to Renwick House, Site 6 on your map, head towards a large hoop pine that dominates the vista ahead when viewed from the school entrance. During school hours, check in with the school office to ask if you may enter the grounds and the house to see a number of early photographs of the property they have inside. Steps beside the large hoop pine lead through a large playground up to the house.
Renwick House was refurbished in 1966 in character with its original style and reopened 3 classrooms with the teaching resource facilities upstairs. It is now used as a new entrance facility. Renwick House was originally built for W.F. Mabon but was bought by an education trust fund in 1851 as a temporary home for Nelson College and occupied by the first headmaster, the Reverend J.C. Bagshaw, and a few boarders. A schoolroom was built behind it. When the Nelson College building was completed at its present site in Waimea Road, the house was occupied by Nathaniel Edwards until it was bought by Sir David Munro in 1864. He altered it and incorporated the schoolroom into the main building and named it Newstead. Here he entertained Sir George Grey to dinner and a private ball, and later Governor Sir James Ferguson, who stayed there. Dr. Renwick, well known as a doctor, pastoralist, and local politician, bought the house after Munro's death, but died 3 years later. His widow lived in it for many years. Older residents of Nelson remembered the beautiful garden, especially the spring bulbs. The drive, which was the main entrance to the house, curved in through the trees and shrubs to the front of the house and round to the stables near the present entrance from Manuka Street. Anne Renwick, the widow and second wife of Thomas Renwick, died in 1937 at the age of 93, while still resident at the house.
Return to the Alton Street entrance of the school and turn right into Willow Walk, which follows a stream that flows into the Maitai River. When you reach Manuka Street, turn right and the spire of St Mary's Church is visible on the left-hand side of the street. St Mary's Church is Site 7 on your map.
St Mary's Church in Manuka Street sits on an acre of land bought by Father Antoine Garin, Nelson's first parish priest, appointed in 1850. Prior to his appointment, Father O'Reilly used to visit the parish, which was established in 1844, once a year from Wellington, crossing Cook Strait in a rowboat. The church is the second built on this site and was built in 1882. Replacing the first St Mary's built in 1856 and destroyed by fire in 1881. A time capsule sits beneath the north-facing foundation stone, which was put in place in 1882. It contains a New Zealand tablet, a Nelson Evening Mail and Colonist newspaper, some 1881 coins, and an inscribed parchment. The stained glass windows are a feature of the church, with those in the south wall coming from France, the east wall windows from Munich and Germany, and others have come from Birmingham in England and Melbourne in Australia. The church bell was donated in 1867, but when hung, a defect in the metal was discovered, and the ringing caused consternation, the fire brigade and the people turning out in their numbers. Father Garin apologised for the mistake, writing an article to the Nelson Evening Mail, offering to discontinue ringing the bell. The fire brigade, apparently thinking the bell more suitable to their purposes, agreed to buy it for £20. The following year, a new bell from France was bought for £70, and when rung, was found to be loud and clear. It was rung before Mass and Vespers, and three times a day it rang out the Angelus. Wrote one of the curates, "Its silvery notes travelled far off to rejoice the hearts of Catholics." But the non-Catholics were not so pleased about it. One, a good friend and admirer of the parish priest, was known to remark when the dawn Angelus bell rang out, "A man could enjoy himself in the mornings if it wasn't for Garin's bell." Christmas 1912, another bell was purchased from Dublin and presented in the memory of Hugh O'Bierney, Esquire. This bell is still in use today. St Mary's is classified as a Category A historic building. The church was renovated in 2000 and the old totara piles were replaced in the floor. Glass-panelled Remu partitions have been added, as well as extensive remodelling of the sanctuary area and a new foyer beneath an extended choir loft. A special archives for the church is available for research on request and is housed in a 100-year-old brick building about 200 metres to the right of St Mary's.
Site 8 is St Joseph's Primary School, which sits behind St Mary's Church. Please do not enter during school hours, but you are welcome to walk through the school grounds after hours. An alternative entry point is on Collingwood Street.
St Joseph's had its beginning in 1848, when Miss Mary O'Dowd opened a small co-educational school for about a dozen children in the area, both Catholic and other than Catholic. 2 years later, Father Garran arrived in Nelson and began a small school for boys only in the presbytery. In 1871, four members of the Sisters of Our Lady of the Missions, an international religious order of French origin, arrived in Nelson at the request of Father Garran and took over the education of both boys and girls. This same order, whose primary work was education, staffed the school entirely for many years. The last member of the Sisters' Order to work in the school retired in 2001. The first lay teachers joined the Sisters in the late 1940s, and the school is now fully staffed by lay people. The Sisters lived in a three-storied monastery next to the church, which had classrooms on the lower floor. Students recall a huge vegetable garden that the nuns had that ran along Brook Street boundary near where the orphanage had stood before being destroyed in the Brook Street flood. Much building has now taken place on the whole school and church site. The monastery building had its top level relocated to Founders Heritage Park. At the time of the building relocation, the building was one of the largest wooden structures in New Zealand. It is now known as the Redwood Granary and used as an events venue at Founders Heritage Park. The lower levels were unfortunately destroyed by an arsonist before they could be relocated.
Go down Manuka Street and turn right at Collingwood Street. Go past Manuka Pottery, and as you approach Nile Street, you will see the gracious building of the Nelson School of Music across the road on your left. Turn right into Nile Street, and the spire of the Presbyterian Church, site 9 on your map, is visible ahead on the right.
The foundation stone of the First Presbyterian Church, also known as Trinity Church, in Nile Street, Nelson, was laid on the 22nd of February 1849 by the Reverend Nicholson, minister of the congregation. The building was of wood on a brick foundation and accommodated about 350 people. There had been quite a few earthquakes in 1848, so brick seemed a more appropriate material to build in. The first church opened on the 23rd of December, 1849. The second Presbyterian church in Nile Street was built in the early 1900s on the site of the earlier church. The first Presbyterian minister was the Reverend Thomas Dixon Nicholson. At age 16, he decided to become a minister and set off to the University of Edinburgh in 1832. Reverend Nicholson was sent to New Zealand by the Free Church of Scotland, and he had a 3-year contract in Nelson. He and his wife departed from the United Kingdom on the 12th of November in 1847, and they arrived in Nelson on board the Mary Ann in June 1848, and Reverend Thomas preached that same evening in Mr. Campbell's schoolroom. No manse was provided, and the stipend was £300 per annum, which was quite a substantial sum of money in those days, and it enabled the Reverend Nicholson to purchase 9 acres of land in Collingwood Street, where a brick house was built. It was named Alice Bray, the Alice after Alison Nicholson, his wife, and the Bray is a Scottish term for hillside. His daughter Amelia described her father Thomas as a strong, boisterous man, while her mother was always so quiet, gentle and kind to us all, but with a very strong character. Sadly, the Reverend Nicholson's wife died in 1856, along with an infant shortly after giving birth, and he decided to leave Nelson in 1857. Nicholson was later instrumental in erecting a church at Renwick Town near Blenheim, the first church of any denomination in the district, and that opened in 1859. While a manse was provided, he also had his own house at Shakespeare Bay near Picton and often went there. Nicholson died in Picton on the 16th of July 1864 of heart disease, aged 47. A book is held in the Nelson Library Research Room entitled Blue Banner, and it tells the story of Reverend Nicholson's life.
We have now completed our walk. To return to the information centre and your starting point, retrace your steps along Nile Street. The cathedral on Church Hill can be seen ahead. Cross Nile Street at the Dairy using the pedestrian safety island and go down Collingwood Street until you reach Halifax Street. You will know you are approaching Halifax Street when you get closer to the green-painted Collingwood Street Bridge, which spans the Maitai River. Turn left into Halifax Street. The Civic House clock tower is clearly visible and eyesight is diagonally opposite.
We hope you have enjoyed the Nine Near Nile Walk. For more heritage trails around Nelson, go to the Nelson City Council website, www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. Search phrase Heritage Walks, or contact the Arts and Heritage Team Leader at Nelson City Council.